Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to everyone this morning. In anticipation of snow flurries, we're here. The announcements are in your bulletin. Just remember that we have a new member gathering that was postponed until March 15th. Also, the men's breakfast is this Wednesday here at St. Luke's. We have a full complement of all kinds of good things happening on Wednesday with the choir, the bells, the youth night, and confirmation. And the Lenten soup supper is at Union, as is the worship service on Wednesday night. Thursday, the Bible study, and Friday is World Day of Prayer at St. Luke's Episcopal Church. That's at 12:15, and next Sunday we have church council. Lots going on. The March devotions are out there if you'd like to pick one of those up. And we were reminded that this is not our eternal home. It pleased Almighty God in His infinite wisdom to call Joe Wenzel from this life. So we want to keep George in our prayers today and this week. And we have a couple of other announcements.
Right.
You don't look like Bill Hall.
I know, but Bill asked me to do a report since he's in charge of the call committee. So we met, I'm going to read what he wrote, it's just easier. On February 26th, the joint call committee met with the church council members from both parishes and Mark Stewart from the UCC conference and Sarah Manning from our Rocky Mountain Synod at Union Congregational Church. We were blessed by the Holy Spirit's presence through our devotion, as well as our lively discussions on the call process of both church bodies. The roles that Mark and Sarah will play to support and inform our process and separate our ministry site profiles for our congregations. Our joint call committee is filled with hopeful anticipation for the next steps. The possible interviews of candidates and eventual submission of a pastor to the members of St. Luke and Union Congregation to help lead our fellowship ministry in Buffalo. March has three important meetings scheduled. The church councils of both parishes will meet independently on March 8th to discuss finances, compensation package, and benefits. On March 15th, they will gather together to develop and agree on a total combined compensation package for our shared pastor. Then, on March 22nd, the joint call committee will reconvene to iron out any last details. Once all the paperwork is complete and our Synod and UCC's conference candidates' names will be gathered by Sarah and Mark and subsequently offered for consideration by our joint call committee. At that time, the committee will determine names for the interviews, possible leading to a committee recommendation for our congregations. The timeline for this season of the process is more likely 8 to 16 weeks. Please keep the joint call committee and your church council leaders in your prayers. Pray for courage, commitment, and collective concern for our discipleship in the ministry of using God gifts for service. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Jeremiah.
And Jeremiah has an announcement.
So on April 11th, we'll be having a summer camp fundraiser in the fellowship hall. We'll be selling pies. We're going to have apple pie, cherry jubilee, key lime pie, and chocolate pie. Each of them $10 on Saturday, April 11th.
That's the pickup date.
That's the pickup date. So you need to order them before, write your name, your number. No, your name and, yeah, just write your name, what pie you want on this paper, that paper will be in.
Jeremiah, are you going to be making the pies?
Yes.
You and everyone going to summer camp will be making the pies.
Okay.
All right.
They'll be good. Don't worry.
Should be fun. All right. Any other announcements? Then let's turn to the Thanksgiving for Baptism, which you have in your bulletin. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom.
As a river, your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit.
By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all.
We praise you for the gifts of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ.
Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love.
To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hymn number 624, Jesus Still Lead On.
Have mercy on us, Christ.
struggles between good and evil rages within and around us. And the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt us with empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
The first reading is from the second and third chapters of Genesis. Human beings were formed with great care to be in relationship with the Creator, creation, and one another. The serpent's promise to the first couple that their eyes would be open led ironically to the discovery only that they were naked. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat fruit of the tree of the trees in the garden? From any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may not eat of the fruit of the we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall eat of the fruit of the tree that not that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsibly, and it's found in your bulletin. "Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven, and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up as even in the sunset.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.' Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, all faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them.
You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding, who must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you.
Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy and grace of those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart." The second reading is from the fifth chapter of Romans. Through Adam's disobedience, humanity came under bondage to sin and death, from which we cannot free ourselves. In Christ's obedient death, God graciously showers on us the free gift of liberation and life. Just as a sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to the condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. You are turning, Lord, to hear you. You are merciful and kind, so to anger, rich in blessing, and with love to us incline.
The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you don't dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Like many of you, I have been both the target and the recipient of phone calls and scams. And one of the things that make these so effective is that they give you the impression that you're going to get something for nothing. You're going to get wealthy, or you're going to get everything you've ever dreamed for. You're going to go on this trip and it'll practically cost you nothing. There are all kinds of wonderful things they use to entice you. And one of the temptations is to say, "Sounds good to me." And then you're on their list. Well, actually, you were on their list before. But I've also learned that anytime somebody calls and you don't know who they are, they'll ask you if you are so-and-so. And a mistake that most of us make, I do all the time, is say yes. Don't say yes, because they record your yes. And then they can put it with an order for who knows what. And if you complain, they can play the recording and say, "Oh, you said that." But again, the temptation is to get what is being offered, and it sounds so wonderful. We all face that. Now, Adam and Eve were not tempted by telemarketers. They were tempted by Satan himself in the form of a serpent. And Adam and Eve had everything. You would think, how could they possibly be tempted? They've got everything they need to eat. They don't need clothes because the world is so nice and warm and comfortable all the time. What more do they need? And yet Satan points to the one thing that they're not supposed to touch. And, of course, being human like we are, they fell for it. But I like the part right after that where God is walking in the garden right after this particular reading. And God says, Adam, where are you? And Adam finally comes out. And he says, why were you hiding? Well, we noticed that we were naked. And I've often thought of this whole part of the book of Genesis as being really kind of a comedy. I mean, think about it. God has seen everything there is to see. He created it. So why are you trying to hide your nakedness? But this word naked, actually, in the Hebrew, refers to being not just physically without clothes, but to have every thought, everything that goes through you seen and visible. You know, think about, you know, the thoughts that go through your head, would you want everybody to see all those? That's real nakedness. But then, first they blame the serpent. It was all the serpent's fault. And then they start blaming, Adam blames Eve. It was that woman. She started it. She took the first bite. Okay? But it goes even deeper than that. Adam says, it was that woman you gave to me, God. It's all your fault. Now it's all God's fault. Wow. But in some ways, it's kind of like the way in which we deal with temptation, too. We'd like to find an excuse, someone else to blame. In our gospel today, there are three major temptations that Jesus faces. They are the temptation to power, to popularity, and to possessions. Three P's. Easy to keep in mind. Because we have the same temptations. We really do. The first temptation, of course, is that he has been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, fasting. Have any of you ever done a 40-day fast? Huh? I have. I've done it a couple of times. It's really quite a neat experience. The recommendation, of course, is that you drink lots of liquids during that time, and that one, you have a Sabbath in which you can eat. You know, the Muslims have Ramadan where they fast for this long period of time, but their fast ends at sunset. So that as soon as sunset's over, they can eat again. In my case, I would eat one day a week, and I was supposed to eat lightly. My problem was I was tempted to eat a whole lot because I hadn't eaten all week. And that got me in more trouble. So I learned, it took a long time, but by the time Easter came, after 40 days, Easter breakfast really tasted good. Well, Jesus has been fasting for 40 days, 40 nights out there in the wilderness. I would guess he's been drinking all along. I don't know that he was eating on the Sabbath. I don't know his schedule. But I do know that at the end of it, I understand from experience that he was famished. He was hungry. And there was nobody there to serve him Easter breakfast. Only the devil was there to say, oh, look at all those stones. You know, Jesus, if you just turn those into bread, it'd be fine. You could have a whole chain of bakeries. In fact, we could do that here in the Rockies, in the Bighorns. There's lots of rocks around here. Imagine turning all them into bread. Well, there'd be bread for the whole world. But Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Father. The second temptation was one in which the devil takes him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the pinnacle of the temple, the highest point on the temple. And remember that the temple was built on the highest spot in Jerusalem. So it's really way up there. And he says, look down there. You know, Jesus, if you just throw yourself down, the angels of heaven would come and pick you up so that you didn't dash your foot against the stone. And think of how people would be wowed by that. Wouldn't that make you important and popular? Well, there are a lot of people who think of the temptation of having that kind of popularity as being important. People fall for the temptation to drinking, to drugs, to gambling, to you name it, thinking that it's going to make them more popular. This is surely especially for the teenagers who see all of these things and would like to be part of the in crowd. Adults aren't immune to that because many adults get hooked on all kinds of things. We had a group in one town I was in who had a key club. They were tempted by a key club is one in which a group of people would get together and they would throw their keys in a bowl and then they would draw a key and that's the person they would go home with. Temptations are all around us every single day in every way. So then that's the temptation to popularity. But there's also the temptation to possessions. The devil takes Jesus to a great high mountain, they said. I don't think it was a mountain. I'm going to read something into this. I think it was a spaceship that took him up to a satellite where he could look down on the whole world. That's my interpretation. They call that eisegesis. Eisegesis is a big word for reading into the text what's not there. Okay? So, but anyway, he can see the whole world. And the devil says, you know what? If you bow down and worship me, I'll give you the whole thing. Wow. That sounds tempting, doesn't it? To have the whole world. But then I think of this as being the comedy of the whole story too here. Because as Jesus looks down on all of creation, who created it? Huh? God. Who owns it? God. Whose son is Jesus? God. It's already his. And he's going to give it to him to bow down and worship him. But how many people bow down and worship Satan, thinking they can gain the whole world that doesn't belong to Satan? We are called upon to remember the gifts that God gave us. Does anybody remember what our mission statement is? Oh boy, somebody had it. Using God's gifts, we seek to serve. Using God's what?
Gifts.
Everything we have is a gift from God. Everything we are is a gift from God. There's a fable about the creation in which all of the animals after creation were just really happy. All of them were celebrating and running around here and there and doing what animals do, just having a great time. Except the birds.
The birds were really upset. The birds were just plain furious. After all the other animals could run free and do whatever they wanted, but here they were. They were cumbered with these things on their shoulders. These things that were just heavy, and they had to put up with them, and there was nothing they could do. And then one day, one of the birds, maybe Jonathan Livingston Seagull, I don't know which one it was, started moving those things on his shoulders, and all of us realized they were wings that would let them fly. Too many people forget the gifts that they have been given, or misunderstand how those gifts are meant for their joy and for the purpose of serving the Lord. We remember those gifts as we seek to serve the Lord. They are not burdens. And in fact, think about some of the burdens that you've encountered over the years. And then think about what those burdens may have led you to. God has given us gifts that are beyond our own comprehension even. And yet, sometimes we miss them. We are tempted to put them down and forget how blessed we really are. Really, we are. As the gifts of God come to us and we acknowledge them, we have the opportunity to serve, to share those gifts with others. Not hoard them, not keep them to ourselves, but bless others with the gifts that we have received. That's what we are called for. That's what we are called to be. And that's the blessing that God has given St. Luke's Lutheran Church. And that's the good news. So may the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. What was that mission statement again?
Using
God's gifts, we seek to serve. Let us serve. Amen. A mighty fortress.
Oh,
faith using the creed which you have printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to heaven. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need.
God of the wilderness, we pray for the church. Lead us in showing grace and hospitality to all who struggle with doubt or shame. Make your church holy ground where all people can be seen and loved for who you have created them to be. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We pray for creation. Show your glory in deserts and on mountaintops. Nourish gardens and orchards and bless those who tend them. Forgive us for our desire to dominate creation instead of serving as faithful stewards and caretakers. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for the nations. Liberate leaders and governments from the temptation to exercise unjust dominion over those whom they are called to lead and serve. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for those in need. Sustain those who are hungry and alone, those who are anxious, those facing difficult decisions, and those facing a recent diagnosis or a new grief, or those who are in need of special prayers. We pray especially for those we name before you now, either aloud or silently.
Fred and Mary and Kermit. And Joe. Iris. Kathy Bruce.
Nancy Wagner.
Machines.
George Wenzel. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you for putting new songs on our lips and in our hearts. Hear our voices as we join in songs of lament and praise. We give thanks for musicians, composers, and poets. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We praise you for bringing us through the desert into the promised land of your kingdom. We give thanks for saints who have guided us in times of trial and joy. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Loving God, we trust in your endless mercy and grace, asking that you give a double measure of wisdom and discernment to our joint call committee, Don Scantling, Barb Millett, Peggy Bjerke, Cheryl Gerard, Kathy Ryman, Bill Hawley, Leslie Pearson, Loretta Funk, Dean Knauer, Scott Madsen, and Walker Silbernagel. Continue your blessing on our church councils. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
Thank you.
And praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who bid your people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast. Renew our zeal in faith and life, and bring us to the fullness of grace that belongs to the children of God. So, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night he was betrayed.
they died for you and me. Our sin would drive the nails in him. That rugged cross was our cross too. So every breath you drew was hallelujah.
Thank you.
should be. Please stand as you are able. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love for the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Share the good news.